Not just today, but every day we give the Lord thanks. Amen. Once again, we want to welcome our friends and guests. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. And if you need a river update, please raise your hand and the ushers will serve you. It has all the list of upcoming events. And especially, I wanted to remind everyone about our Unfrozen Christmas musical. This is our outreach. This is a way to reach out to families, to friends, to people that you work with. We're having a Saturday afternoon performance and a Sunday performance. And this is a way for you to reach out to people, to bring them to church with you, to enjoy the Christmas musical, and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Laura made some of these up, and you can pick them up. And you know what? You can invite strangers. How many of you run into strangers every week? Yeah? You don't all just go home and stay in your house, right?
Right?
Yeah, okay. So you run into people and just invite them. If they throw it away, they throw it away. But you never know. It could be a setup from God to invite someone to come and hear the gospel, or someone who's looking for a church that wants to get connected to the best group of people in Elkhart, Indiana. That's you. That's your opportunity. Yay. Love you all. So glad you're here. Just wanted to remind you, be evangelists. Invite people. All right. So today's our Thanksgiving service. And I found a saying that I'd like to share with you. It says, I've seen better days, but I've also seen worse. I don't have everything I want, but I do have all I need. I woke up with some aches and pains, but I woke up. My life may not be perfect, but I am blessed. And if that's you, give the Lord a praise this morning. We are going to take a look at Psalm 100 this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. We have verse 4 on the screen, but I'm going to begin at the beginning. It's not a very long psalm. But it's a psalm of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. God is faithful to us. He's faithful to you. And it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And it starts out saying, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad we're his people. I'm glad that we're eating in his pasture. And that he's our shepherd and he's watching over us. And then we get to verse 4. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be thankful to him and bless his name. Now there's an entrance into the presence of God. Gates in the scripture represent access. We have access into the presence of God. So we enter in, we come through these gates of access of thanksgiving. We come through the gates of thanksgiving. That's how we get to the access and presence of God. You remember that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel complained a lot. And they didn't receive the presence of God, they received the anger of God. He was ready just to wipe them out. Because of their murmuring and complaining, regardless of what he did for them, all the miracles he did for them, all the provision that he gave for them, they still whined and cried in the wilderness and complained.
All right. All
now you see, complainers have their place.
Yes, they do.
But it's not in the presence of God. When you come into the presence of God, you come in with thanksgiving. Yeah, we woke up today with aches and pains, but thank God he gave us breath today and we woke up.
Amen.
I don't think anyone sitting in this place woke up hungry today. Did you have plenty to eat? And you enjoyed all that, didn't you? Amen. It's a good thing we don't do that every Thursday, right? But it was great. It was great to gather with family and friends. We didn't come in hungry. The children of Israel weren't hungry either, but they were complaining. Oh, hallelujah. We come into His presence. We enter those gates of thanksgiving. And the gate is a place of access. And thanksgiving is the Hebrew word that is tovda. And tovda means to extend your hand. That is enjoy and adoration to the Lord. And it's used specifically for a group of worshipers. See, this psalm is talking to the saints. It's talking to the church. We come together and enter the gates of thanksgiving in adoration, extending our hands. For those who have never seen people raise their hands in church, it's scriptural to raise your hands before the Lord with a group of worshipers to adore Him and to thank Him. That's how we get access. Yeah, give Him a praise. God has provided us with access into His very presence. And we come in with a thankful heart, a grateful heart for all that God has done for us. Has He done something for you? Has He been good to you? We serve a good, good Father. So that's the first part. We come with our hands extended, offering praise and thanksgiving offerings to the Lord. And then we enter into His courts with praise. The Hebrew word for court represents a yard with a fence or an area with a wall around it. We're coming through a gate into a spiritual habitation where the presence of the Lord is. He provides a place for us to come together into His presence with praise, with tehillah praise. Tehillah praise is a spontaneous praise that bubbles up on the inside of you. Just can't stop praising Him because He's been so good. So our lips are to give thanks and to give praise to God. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's your mouth been saying? Because you'll find out real quick what's in your heart if you pay attention to your mouth. Sometimes it doesn't make it out your mouth, but it gets up here in your head and those thoughts roll round and round. Is that the truth? I mean, some of you have matured enough that you know not to say it, but you're thinking it. God wants to work on that area of our life too. So we come into His courts with praise, the spontaneous praise that bubbles up out of the inside of us of thanksgiving and gratefulness for God and all that He's done. And then the next part of the scripture, we come into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him. Now, this word thankful is a little different than the first thanksgiving. It is the word yada. And yada is to literally throw the hand in the air like you're throwing a stone. Or it means to salute. It means to lift your hands in excitement to yada. If somebody here won the lottery, if you're playing the lottery, all right. But if you won the lottery, you'd be really excited, right? Or if you won a new car, or somebody stopped by and gave you $1,000, wouldn't you be throwing your hands in the air and jumping around like, yeah, would you? Be pretty happy? This is how happy we should be about God. He sent His only Son to save us from a death that we could not save ourselves from. He gave us such a great salvation that when we think about eternal life and all that He has done for us, we get excited. Many of you probably heard this week that Kim Clement passed away. And he's a prophet of God, an excellent minstrel on the keyboard and would prophesy. He passed away this week. And his wife said, you know, don't be sorry for us and don't be sorry for him, because he's in a place where he has longed to go and he is rejoicing in that place in the very presence of the Lord that he loved. Hallelujah. And I bet Kim Clement is doing a dance. Hallelujah. Spinning around, throwing his arms and singing with the angels. Thank you, Lord. So when we yada and give thanks to the Lord, we get excited about that. You see, that's the thanks that should be in our heart and our mouth when we're around people. Thanking God. I've had lots of opportunities to be really impatient this season waiting in lines. Has anybody been waiting in lines? I mean, honestly, I get into Martin's, and Martin's, I like to shop at Martin's, and they're usually so fast, you know, click it right off. Yeah, Jenna knows. They just keep those lines going. They call more help, you know, and they, oh, the lines were so long. And that's why I shop Amazon.com, but I couldn't get my groceries there, you know. But just being patient. And then it seems like every time you get in line, somebody in front of you has a problem with something, and so you have to stand there longer. And I thought, Lord, you are really working on my patience. You're just fine-tuning me, you know, staying calm. Because you got to stay calm. Otherwise, that negative energy on the inside of you just goes on everybody. You might not say anything, but you just spewed something all over them. You know? Is that true? Come on, you can feel that when you're in line. Staying calm. So we come before the presence of God rejoicing. And when we're around people, we need to have that same attitude. I think it was Dwight Moody. Somebody asked him, if God was going to come back today, how would you live your life today? And he looked at them and he said, I'd live it just like I live it every day. In other words, he wouldn't change anything about what he does, because he was God-centered throughout his day. How many of us could really say that? If Jesus was coming today, we'd just live the same like we always did. You see, God wants us to have a thankful heart, a praise on our lips, to have a calm attitude, dealing with people. And, you know, everybody deals with people in different ways, right? Yeah. And you have to always remember that you're someone's difficult person. So tell somebody you're someone's difficult person. It is not always that other guy. It's not always your spouse. You are someone's difficult person. That helps you treat others differently. So we come before him, we're thankful to him, and we bless his name. To bless his name, to bless is to barak. To barak means to bow down. In other words, we come before him humbly. You know, we can't do anything on our own. In our weakness, he shows his power. We can't do it on our own. We can't make it on our own. And so we humbly come before him, and we graciously bow down before him and thank him for his mercy upon our lives, for his grace that he extends to us every day. We don't deserve it, but yet he gives it to us. And so, remembering, we are here. God is sovereign over the universe. He's the one that is high and lifted up. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, God will exalt us. God promotes you. If you walk with a humble attitude at work, God will promote you at work. God gives promotion. When we follow His principles and do what He's asked us to do, He makes sure that we have the right place that He's designed for us. Because He's the one that opens doors that no man can shut. And He's the one that shuts doors that no man can open. So we thank God that we can come together into His courts and bless His name. Humbly bow down before Him. And just to finish off the psalm, it goes on to say, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." So today, being Thanksgiving, we wanted to give people an opportunity to share what they were thankful for. But before we have others come up, Scott Masterson has prepared to share his testimony. He had mentioned a comment on Facebook about what he was thankful for. And I messaged Jenny and asked if he would consider sharing that testimony with the church today. I really believe it's going to bless you. And so at this time, let's give Scott Masterson a warm welcome as he comes up to share his testimony. Thank you.
I'm really nervous.
That's okay. Bless you. It's okay. They all love you. Tell them you love him.
A lot of you know me and my story. I came from the west side of Cleveland and grew up in an Irish Catholic family. I was the last out of six kids. And it wasn't a very good family. It was a fighting family. It was a lot of arguing, a lot of bad stuff. Anyways, my parents got divorced when I was 15. And about the same time when my dad left, I got hit by a car and was put in the hospital for quite a while. Broke my leg in several places. And they gave me Demerol and painkillers for a very long time. And I got to liking that. So after I got out of the hospital, you know, I partied with my friends all the time, and I brought the painkillers, and we got beer, and we had a good time. And then my dad would come see me, you know, when he could. And finally, they decided to break us up because the group of guys I hung around with were not very good. None of them graduated high school. I think I'm the only one. My father came to see me, and he said, being transferred to Minnesota, would you like to come with me? I said, okay. So I left everything, all my friends, all my family, and went to Minnesota, graduated high school, and went to drafting school after that. But I went out and drank with my friends and got high and every chance I got. When I went back to Ohio, things weren't so good. You know, I saw all my friends going to college and getting cars, and, you know, getting all these things, and I went to work in a gas station. So I pumped gas and I worked on cars for many years. And then I fell into an electrical field and started to become an electrician. But all the people that I hung around with drank a lot. And that's what we learned. That's what we did. We worked hard. We played hard. That's what we did. And I kept trying to quit drinking, but I couldn't stop hanging around my old friends. I just couldn't get away from them. My older brothers were in AA. They stopped drinking. One night I got into a lot of trouble, and I called my oldest brother, and he put me in a treatment center in Youngstown, Ohio. And I stayed there for the 30 days and did the whole thing. And I came out and I stayed sober for 6 months. But then I went back to my friends again and fell back into the old routine and started drinking again, started working again. And one day my sister came over to my house with her boyfriend. I'll never forget this. It was a Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, beautiful day out. Come on, let's go to the bar. Okay. We were in the bar at 10 o'clock in the morning, starting to get drunk. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done. So I got up and walked out and went home. And the next day I went down to Cleveland and signed up for school. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I had to go. So I rode buses, worked, went to school, and drank every chance I got. Then after I got out of school, I moved to Florida with my sister. And things were okay. And I drank a lot. And that's when Jenny walked in the door, and I fell in love with her instantly. So we got married, and I decided I had to quit drinking for good. But I still drank every once in a while. And the one night I was on my way home, I got pulled over, and they put me in Goshen Jail. And I woke up on the concrete floor in the holding cell. And I said, this has got to end. And I asked God to help me, and he did. I've been sober now 10 years. And then he gave me Emma. And I tell you what, last night we were sitting on the couch watching a Santa Claus movie, and it doesn't get any better than that, I'll tell you that. That's it. I can't.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Look what the Lord has done. He's so gracious and good. He doesn't give up on us. Isn't that something? He does not give up on us. So we'd like to open it up if there are some others who would like to share a testimony of what you're thankful for. I'm going to ask the first five to come and stand here. So I know there has to be five. All right, Tessa's first. Who's next? Tony second. Ty. Kim. And I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Sherry? Good. Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to ask each one of you to introduce yourself, and you can pass the mic on, okay, when you're done.
Aren't we a great-looking group?
Yeah.
I'm Tess. Nice to meet you. Most of you know me. You know, my husband, Rick, does newspapers, and it's 24/7, 365. And I've been praying, Lord, please get him out of the newspaper business, because a company in St. Joe, Michigan bought it. It's printed up there, driven down here. Thanksgiving night, the night before, he had to be there an hour early, and the papers were 6 hours late. He did not get home till 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon. He calls me this morning. The same thing happened last night. My nephew called me Tuesday. He said, I'm hiring Rick. It will be where Chase works, where my nephew works, Monday through Friday. And it's a good Christian company. And after a full year, full calendar year, it's employee owned. He will start getting dividends, benefits, insurance, the whole bit. So, yes, praise God, he won't be doing papers no more.
Amen. All right, my name's Tony. The one thing that a lot of you do know is that I'm adopted. And Family to me has been a very difficult thing in my life. It's been something that has come and gone and come and gone and come and gone. And the one thing how Apostle Janet just said, God never gives up on you. Well, I can say that one thing that is very prevalent in my life is that these two never gave up on me. We have been at this church for before it was a church. And in all honesty, I deserved to be given up on in my eyes. But those two never gave up on me. So I'm so thankful because of a spiritual mother and father. They've been the most mother and father I've ever had in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you because this is the longest family I've ever had in my life. So thankful.
My name is Sherry. I've only been here a couple times so far. So I'm fairly new to this place. But I'm actually a single mom of three. And I just recently finally got my place that I've been wanting for a long time. And it just seems like these last couple of months, God has just been blessing me here and there and just so many, just little things. But it's just been a little bit extra money here, a little bit extra money there while I try to get my apartment put together and being able to actually have a place of my own now because I had to get kicked out of my place and had to live with my parents. And it's just been a big blessing for how much he's provided for much my family this last couple of months.
All right, it's weird hearing my voice up there. I get so excited up here, and I get the chance. All right, but there is so much I'm thankful for. One of the big things that it's so small, but it's everywhere you go. And air is something I'm very thankful for. The fact that I can feel my lungs push in and out as I go throughout my day. And calm down, dude. Sheesh. All right. the Lord knows I'm a very fast-paced type of guy, so he works a lot with me in my life. And because I normally like to get good at a job and then leave like right away. So he always has job opportunities for me everywhere I go. And because I have a very important car payment, I lose this car if I don't have this job. And it's a slightly nicer car. So he's always had a job there and the according hours to go along with it. So, yeah, that's what I'm thankful for. Oh.
Okay, I'm Kim, and I am a crier, so if I break down, I apologize. It's just what I do. I have worked with my current organization for 10 years. I believe the job was an original gift from God, and it's kept me going and kept our family together. And a week ago Wednesday on the 16th, I was called into the office and told that my position had been eliminated. It was a surprise, it was a shock, and for a moment my world stopped, and I panicked. And my mom was away in Alaska. I went and talked to my dad for a while, went home, talked to my eldest daughter, and I had just recently started a new medication, and I was absolutely frightened that I wouldn't be able to afford to keep up with it. So I said, I'm going to call the doctor and ask. And my daughter said, you should call her now. So, okay, I did. I called, I asked if they would write me another prescription. They said they couldn't do that because my first one wasn't old enough yet. And I explained why I wanted it. And the nurse that I spoke to, she said, you know, we have a position in our front office that's open. And I said, I can do that job. And she said, I know. She said, get online right now. Hang up the phone, get online, and I will go and talk to them. And that was Wednesday. On Friday, I received an appointment for an interview. On Monday morning, I interviewed. And on Wednesday, before Thanksgiving, I was hired, and I start tomorrow morning.
God is faithful. God is so good. Amen. Those are so good. You know, we probably have time for five more. All right. Here they come. One, two, three, four, five. Gotcha. Awesome. Amen. So same routine, okay? We're going to let Benito start off.
Yes, my name is Benito, and I just thankful because last month we actually get debt free. It was really tough. We were like in debt for long time, and it get to the point like where we cannot even pay our minimum payments. And we tried the bankruptcy, but somehow God didn't lay that in my heart. I feel like I spent that money and I had to pay it. So I talked to my creditors. I told them, I want to pay you, but I cannot pay you what you asked me. This is what I want to pay you for now. And they worked with us. So it took us about 5 years since then. But with God's help, we get out totally debt free. Praise God.
Okay. I usually pass these by because I feel like I could just go on and 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 on. And I just feel like I don't want to do that to you guys. When I think, what am I thankful for? There's so many things I'm thankful to the Lord for. And this way I don't do this. I guess everything that God's done in me, through me, for my family, it all had to start with salvation. And you know what, you guys? I once was so lost, to the point that I hated the song Amazing Grace. I hated it. And yet I thought I was this perfect angel because we are blind. I was blind. And everybody who knew me just thought I was the greatest person in the world. I was fine. But you know what? I was so lost. And so today when I think about what am I thankful for, I thank the Lord for my parents who raised me, even though it might not be the denomination that I'm in now. I'm part of the family of God. I'm born again. But they did raise me on a good foundation of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ, so that when my time came to get my life right, I knew I had to come home to the Lord. You know, maybe at the time I thought I have to get back to church, but it was really the Lord calling me home to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was through studying his word and the journey with him. So I thank God for my parents that set me on that foundation, which is the rock of Jesus Christ. And that journey of salvation, the Lord has directed my steps from fellowship through seasons where he could grow me in my relationship with him, and through the wonderful men and women of God and my brothers and sisters in Christ, through where God had planted me in the 32 years that I have been born again and close in relationship with him. They have ministered to me through prayer, the body of Christ. God has ministered. And he's helped me stay that course in a marriage that's now celebrating 43 years, and my husband couldn't stay in because of his pain. But 43 years. And you know what? It hasn't been easy. It's never easy. But with God, all things are possible. And there was a song by a group, Cutlass, and one of the things they say in this song is, there's the only excuse, impossible is just a reason not to try. You know, when we know God, he says all things are possible. And the more that we know him, the deeper we go in our relationship with him, there's just nothing that's impossible. So I could go on and on and on and on, but every day is a fresh new day with the Lord. And he's just waiting to take us deeper. He's waiting to build us and grow us. And this has been a wonderful Thanksgiving for our family, while at the same time we all struggle. I struggle with my flesh and choosing to fill my mind and let his spirit just be the one that controls me. And that's not always an easy thing to do, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's always a choice, but I give thanks to my Lord, my Savior Jesus Christ. I thank him so much for loving me so much that he doesn't judge me on my performance and how perfect a job I do and how much I do and what I do. He just loves me. And he's there every day to say, it's okay, Les, just get back on track again, you know. And he keeps us going forward, and he's a faithful God. And I just encourage the young people, just know how much he loves you, and let your identity be in what he says about you and how much he loves you. Don't try and feel you got to measure up to your peers or the world, but realize how precious you are. And he's got an awesome plan for your life. And just let him shape you and make you, and just bask in that love. And just keep growing closer to him, because he's got an awesome plan for all of us, each one of us. So I give him all the glory and all the honor.
My name is Sue, and I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. Because the things that I have, what's going on in my life with my healing is not something that a lot of people would have. So I'm thankful that Jesus is in my life to help me with the illness that I have. I have a couple illnesses, but God is there and he is helping me. And I want to bring that to other people. I want to bring that to Jesus to them. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful. I went and had some blood tests about a week ago, and I have a liver problem. Well, the tests are normal. I mean, they couldn't find anything wrong with my blood. And it's just like I go for a physical tomorrow. And I'm hoping for more good stuff. And I'm very thankful for this church, all of you, all of you. Pastor Janet, especially. And I'm thankful for my family. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus.
My name is Roxanne. And first of all, I'm very thankful for you two. There have been many times the last few years where I've called her and I've needed her to pray with me because of situations, and she's always there, and she's always been there, and she's encouraging. And anytime I have a problem, and Pastor Leonard too, of course, I mean, they're together, but I'm just very thankful for that, because sometimes there are situations that are just very, very overwhelming that you really, it's even difficult with, I believe I have faith, but it's still very difficult, so I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for how God is working in my family, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm seeing good things, and I, too, had a situation that happened earlier this year with one of my jobs that I'd been at for 13 years. They discontinued it. Now, I did have another job. I worked two different positions, so I wasn't totally out of work, but my income was cut in half, without notice. they basically discontinued the counseling center I worked for. But God has been, and that was in February, and I opened an office in April, and God is very faithful. He has been really blessing my business, so I'm very thankful for that. So it was a little scary that I, from the very, like, next breath after the shock, I said, you know, I know that there's a purpose in this, and I'm just going to walk this out. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't have moments of intrepidation and things like that, but I did, you know, it was initially a shock. I was initially sad because I'd done it for 13 years, but I also believed that God was going to do something else. And sometimes he kind of has to kick me. He kind of has to do that with me because I have a tendency to stay. And so he did, and it's been wonderful. So I'm very thankful for that.
Well, there are lights up here, and yeah, but I can't see you. My name is Lynn, and I came to this church years ago. Was my church family, and still obviously is. My sister Lisa lives here in Elkhart, and actually, I brought her when Pastor Scott was here. I brought her to the church. She struggled because she didn't want to cry in front of people. But Pastor Scott made her feel very, very comfortable, and she's been coming ever since. Praise God. And thank you for inviting me back, and thank you for Catherine and Aura, because they're the couple that, the reason that I'm here. They ask Lisa about me all the time. I get updates from her, and so I carry on. Tony Artist through Facebook or whatever. Don't engage in that, but I follow it, and I pray a lot. And what I'm most thankful for, though, is the storms. I think it's easy to be thankful in the good times, but in the storms is where I hear him most. In the storms is where I see his guidance. When I don't know, it's so important for me to sit still, just be still. And sometimes it's be still for such a long time, it feels like forever. But the storms is where I see his guidance. And I've been from Elkhart to Texas to back to Elkhart to California. Now I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. So I've traveled a lot, but it's always been in obedience. And so when there's obedience, then I follow where I'm going and there's success. There's always graciousness and provisions. And I can't be grateful enough and thankful enough. I was telling Lisa, I hear him in lyrics. I wake up in song, I go to sleep in song throughout my day, and that's how I meditate on him. And boy, I'll tell you, talk about slam a door shut, and it's like, ow! But I get that's not where I'm supposed to be going, so step left. But I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for a God who never gives up. I, too, am a single mom of three. I never remarried. Still am a single mom of three, only three adults. One married, and I have two grandkids now. Praise God. My oldest is just gotten engaged, and she's going to be married next July. That's a huge praise God. She's way away. Yeah, that's huge. And to a Christian man. And my son just got engaged. And he's going to get married in October. So I have absolutely nothing to be sad about. Even though things come my way, there's always the way. And so that's just my story. That's my song. So thank you.
Those are wonderful testimonies, wonderful thank yous. And we're going to close out this service with communion. So the elders can go at this time to get ready. And I'd like to share a few scriptures with the congregation. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." In this passage, there's four things to consider, and we're going to quickly go through them, as well as another reading. Number one is, we're to proclaim the Lord's death. So we look back. First, when we receive communion, we look back at the cross and we're reminded of our Lord's sacrifice and how he gave himself unselfishly and completely for the atonement of our sins. You know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we look back and we remember. And we also look within ourselves. The scripture says a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. So the second place we look is inside of ourselves. What do we see? What are we doing with our lives? How are we living? Are we striving for holiness? Do we put Jesus first in our lives? Are we totally committed to him? So let's examine ourselves and look deep into our hearts. Because God wants us to acknowledge our sins and humbly ask for forgiveness. That's why he asks us to examine ourselves. The third thing comes from a passage in 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17. It asks the question, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf." So the third thing is we look around, because we are one loaf. We all take of the same body. So we look around at our brothers and sisters, and we give thanks to God for each one of them. Because no man is an island. We need one another. And I so enjoyed each one of the testimonies today. Because we're connected. I get excited to hear about what God is doing in your life. And how he's blessing you. Because as you're blessed, each one of us are blessed. And the other thing from 1 Corinthians 11:26, we look ahead until he comes. The Lord asks us to do this until he comes, and we do this in remembrance of him. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to receive the bread and the cup together as the body of Christ, as many members, but we are one. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this special time of communion today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.